Good evening and welcome to International Black Summit Black Talk Radio. Black Talk Radio. Tonight we have a wonderful show. We're going to discuss diseases among our youth and our community. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on sickle cell and lupus. But first I want to acknowledge our hosts that we have. We have Glenn in New York.
Hey.
Yes, Jerry also
hey.
In New York.
Peace.
We have Henrietta. Henrietta is out of Chicago. And then we have Shakesha, who is actually out of Japan, along with myself, Jill, in Atlanta, Georgia. But before we get started with the show, as we do with every show Sunday evening, we start with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And Glenn, would you please start?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jill. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, April 10th, 2011, North, South, East, and West, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Again, thank you so much, Glenn. Again, our show is about diseases among our youth and our community, and we're going to focus on sickle cell and lupus. But for those of you who are just joining in our show, we want to, of course, explain the purpose of the International Black Summit. And the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And along with that, we have some announcements. We have our annual event, which will be in Chicago, which will be August 4th to August 7th. And you can go on blacksummit.org, click on the great city of Chicago. There's a picture of Chicago there. You can click on there and you can register. Also, we have a prerequisite course in New York, and that's going to be on April 30th. We have another prerequisite course in New York, May 21st. And then, of course, we have our annual event. We're going to have a share here in Atlanta, and that will be the last Saturday in April. But all of that information, the contact information, and everything will be on blacksummit.org. Now, before we get started, I want to introduce to you, we have three guests on the show this evening, and what they're going to do is they're going to talk about their experience, their information, knowledge. It's just, we're just going to provide information for people out there that are dealing with the illnesses that we discussed earlier on the show. We're going to have on the show, we're going to feature Supermom Tosh. She is a wonderful, wonderful being that I met over Facebook through a colleague of mine at work. And she's out of Detroit, Michigan. And Supermom, are you out there?
Yes, she is. She's got her hand up. Hold on a second. Let me bring her into the fold.
Supermom.
Okay,
go
well,
ahead. Supermom.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, yes. Supermom. Yes. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, good. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we're going to cue you in a few minutes to explain your story. And next,
okay.
Supermom, actually, she introduced me to Farhan. Farhan out in California. Are you out there in Radio Land?
What's the count? I'm here. This is Farhan.
All right, Farhan. Thank you so much for joining in. And then we have Dr. Palmer. Dr. Palmer, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Dr. Palmer is going to actually speak about the nutrition and her program in regards to education, Village Keepers, and just a way of living as far as drinking enough water, exercising, cleansing. So we have a great show. So before we get into having our guests, Glenn, we're going to talk a little bit, just a little bit about lupus, if we could touch base on that, and then we'll go into the area of sickle cell, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, we've got a great show lined up, and so let me get right to it.
Okay.
So lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that can damage any part of your body, skin, joints, and organs inside the body. And what autoimmune means, your immune system cannot tell the difference between the foreign invaders and your body's healthy tissues. And so what that does is really attack and destroy the healthy tissues in your body. So clearly you can see that it is a pretty destructive disease to be dealing with. Now, one of the interesting things that they said in terms of what causes lupus, although lupus can develop in people with no family history of lupus, there are likely to be other autoimmune diseases in some family members. Certain ethnic groups, which I thought was quite interesting, people of Africa, of African descent, of Asian descent, Hispanic and Latinos, Native Americans, Native Hawaiians, or Pacific Island are the ethnic groups that all seem to have a higher risk of developing lupus, and they say it's related to the genes. While persons' gene may increase the chance that he or she will develop lupus, it takes some kind of environmental trigger to set off the illness and to bring on a flare. And the flare is actually where it attacks the body. And, there's a list of about seven or eight, but ultraviolet rays from the sun, ultraviolet rays from fluorescent light bulbs, sulfur drugs, somebody who's sensitive to the sun will take different things. Penicillin or any antibiotic drugs, an infection, a cold, a viral illness, all of those things can cause a flare. And I wanted to just briefly mention that there are actually four different kinds of lupus. So is systemic lupus is the most common form of lupus and is what most people mean when they refer to lupus. And it could be mild or severe. And basically what it is inflammation of the kidneys. So which affect the body's ability to filter waste from the blood and is, of course, dangerous and damaging, that the dialysis of the kidney transplant may be needed. So it really affects the kidney, an increase in blood pressure in the lungs, inflammation of the nervous system and the brain, which can cause memory problems, confusion, headaches, strokes, inflammation in the brain's blood vessels, which could cause seizures and behavioral changes, and hardening of the artery. So that's the systemic. Now, I may be getting this pronunciation wrong, but it's cutaneous lupus, which refers to the skin. And that's the form of lupus is limited to the skin. So that appears as rashes, raised, scaly, and red, but not itchy. And, you know, you usually have, you know, the different rash symptoms from that. Now, the one that I thought that I was very surprised to hear about is the drug-induced lupus. And the drug-induced lupus is caused by prescription drugs. So the drugs most commonly connected with drug-induced lupus are used to treat high blood pressure, hypertension, to treat heart rhythms, and to treat tuberculosis. So these drugs actually trigger lupus. And interestingly enough, what I found for our listeners and Jill, that these lupus symptoms will usually disappear within 6 months after the medications are stopped. So you stop taking those particular drugs, and within 6 months, the symptoms are gone. So, I mean, it's, you know. And then the neonatal lupus, which is the one that happens when a mother is pregnant and her lupus is now causing antibodies for the mother acting upon infant in the womb. And that one clears up after several months after the baby's born, and usually doesn't have too much of an effect. Again, these are, you know, general conversations about it. The most common symptoms of lupus are extreme fatigue, headaches, pain, painful or swollen joints, fever, anemia, swelling, pain in the chest and deep breathing, sun or light sensitivity, hair loss, abnormal blood clotting, fingers turning white and or blue, and mouth or nose ulcers. So those are some of the symptoms of lupus. So back to you, Jill.
Okay, thank you so much. And one thing that we want to focus on with the show, all the shows that we do, it's all about informing our listeners, but it's also providing resources and what is the next step, what can we do to improve and to help families, individuals, people going through a situation or a concern, and we want to provide resources. So one resource that I found was the African American Lupus Foundation, Inc. It was started in 1990 by Carol Taylor. She's the executive director. So if any of you have any interest in or know of someone with lupus and you want more information and as far as a way to have a connection with someone as far as community networking and just working with people and listening and hearing people out in regards to people that have lupus, please go to the African American Lupus Foundation, Inc. Okay? All right. Before we get started into the topic of sickle cell, Jerry, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Jerry, one of our wonderful hosts here with the International Black Summit radio show, he is going to share, we share a Kwanzaa principle, and we usually do that right after the declaration, so I do apologize, Jerry. But could you please share the Kwanzaa principle for us for the show this evening?
No problem. This Kwanzaa principle for tonight's topic is Kuja Shakalia, in parentheses means self-determination. It means to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and to speak for ourselves.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry. And with that, as far as create for ourselves, we are creating a avenue, a vehicle, as far as a support system and a network for families that are going through or that are experiencing some of these diseases that start in at childhood. All right, we're going to go in order. We're going to hear from Farhan, and then we're going to hear from Superman Tash, and then we'll hear from Dr. Palmer. Farhan, are you out there?
I'm here.
Hi, Farhan. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
Good, good. Farhan, I'd like for you, if you could, tell us about the organization that you started, and just kind of briefly tell us your story in regards to sickle cell, and then tell us a little bit about your foundation and how you're helping others.
Okay. My name is Farhan Dozier. I'm in the military, 22 years of service, and my organization is called What's the Count on Sickle Cell Trait Awareness. And what my organization does is pretty much we are going to re-educate the community, actually humanity, about the sickle cell trait by providing pain crisis information, trait exertion information, and genetic counseling. And that's personal to me because I experienced the trait exertion in 2006. And I was doing the Army Fitness Training Test in Central California and got done with the 2-mile run, 16 minutes, and I collapsed. And they took me to the hospital. The doctor asked me if I ever had kidney problems. I told him no. He said, "What you do now?" and walked out of the room. So with that, he came back and gave me a couple IVs and sent me on my way, said, "Get some rest, and you should be okay. You're just a little bit dehydrated. Around 16:30, my classmates came back. My condition had gotten worse. The room was still spinning. I was throwing up, almost crapped on myself. I mean, it was horrible condition. So he took me back to the hospital. The night doctor ended up keeping me 4 days because my creatine level had increased to over 10,000. And that's a symptom called rhabdomyolysis, which is a muscle breakdown, an enzyme. And once that got into my bloodstream, the kidneys can't filter that because it's a toxin. And my kidneys were shutting down about 50% each. I developed, they said it was heat stroke dehydration. I developed vertigo from it. It didn't seem right because I knew that I had been exercising. I knew I was hydrated because I was taking the Army Fitness Test, and that's one of the most important tests when you go into a school for your promotion, because if you don't pass that, they can send you home because of that, if you fail that. So to bring it full circle, in 2009, I submitted my paperwork to the military to have a profile done because I noticed that when I got on the treadmill, that I felt like I've been on a roller coaster ride all day after the treadmill run. And so we turned in the paperwork to get a profile to do the walk, because they have alternate events in the military. You can do the walk, the bicycle, the swim. So I figured I would have no problem doing the walk. Turned that paperwork in 2009, and the state surgeon deemed me not fit for service based off of the documents that he had that I submitted to him. At that point in 2009, the summer, it was June, around November of 2009, I developed a real hard bad case of arthritis. And I went to the Air Force base. They didn't know what to do with me. They gave me, like, Motrin pills and stuff. I want to say I went to the doctor at least 3 times out of the week to get some help. Eventually, one of the nurses mentioned to me, she said, "If you go to UCLA Medical Center and check yourself in there, they have expert, you know, doctors, and they can help you." So on January 28th, I checked myself in the UCLA Medical Center because I was stiff as a board. I mean, I couldn't move. I couldn't even roll. I couldn't even sit up. I had pains through my back, my arm. My knees were swollen. My left hand was swollen. My feet. Shooting pains across my chest, down my spine. And they ended up keeping me in UCLA Medical Center for like 3 days because they was afraid that the inflammation was on my heart. So 3 days in UCLA Medical Center, I happened to go back to the Air Force Base to turn those documents in, and I ran into a fellow officer of mine. And he asked me how I'd been and stuff, and I told him my situation. And he said, well, you know what, something like that happened to me before where my muscles locked up. He said, but I have the sickle cell trait. And I was like, you know what, I think I have that. Because in 1999, the Air Force Base found it, but they didn't. They just asked me if I knew I had it, and that was it. That was it on the education. I told them, no, I didn't know I had it, and that was it. So when I remembered that, I went back and got that test result, and I took it to UCLA Medical Center. As I researched that information, and everything that I had symptom-wise was associated with this thing called trait exertion. And it had been going on in the military since the 70s and even happened recently in young athletes playing football and running track. And I had every symptom that they had except for the cardiac arrest, which is one of the sudden deaths that it causes. And so I took that to UCLA Medical Center and said, hey, you know what? I need you to test this again because I think it might be the sickle cell trait because all my symptoms are similar. They tested me again, and they found that 40% of my red blood cells were the trait and was able to tie that injury in 2006 and the arthritis to the sickle cell trait exertion. And so now I'm pending the medical board with the military. And I have no idea how my career is going to turn out, but that's okay now because I know what my plan is and what my life is here for and why God blessed me to be alive.
You know, that's absolutely wonderful. This is Glenn Greenwich. One of the things I'm actually going to let the listeners know, one of the things about sickle cell is that sickle cell changes the shape of the blood cell. And it makes it a normal blood cell is like a donut, and sickle cell is more like a half moon. So it's crescent shaped. And what That's happens correct. Is that when it goes to the smaller blood vessels, it creates a blockage because it can't because it's not round, it can't get through those blood vessels as easily. And what happens is it causes the blood to not flow through those areas. And, of course, as the gentleman just said, fatigue, pain occurs, and other, there are, you know, quite a few different symptoms that can happen. But the worst, of course, could be a stroke or heart problems or even lungs, not getting enough air. So that's one of the experiences that this gentleman had actually experienced. And again, had he had known that, he could have prevented some of those incidents from happening. Back to you, sir.
Exactly.
Fran, can you repeat the name of your organization again?
My name of the organization is called What's the Count? It's WHATZDACOUNT on Sickle Cell Trait Awareness. And for short, it's called WDC on SCT Awareness. And SCT is a sickle cell trait, and the actual clinical term for it is HBAS.
Oh, okay.
So if they look up any of that, they can find me there.
All right.
And,
thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Let me jump in for a second. I just want to let people know sickle cell anemia affects millions throughout the world. It's particularly common among people whose ancestors come from, and which is, I didn't realize this, from Sub-Saharan Africa, Spanish-speaking regions, South America, Cuba, Central America, Saudi Arabia, India, and the Mediterranean countries such as Turkey, Greece, and Italy. In the United States, it affects around 72,000 people, most of whose ancestors come from Africa. The disease occurs in about 1 in every 500 African-American births. And in 1 in every 1,000 to 1,400 Hispanic American births. And 2 million Americans, or 1 in 12 African Americans, carry the sickle cell trait. So I was actually very surprised because I was under the impression that it only affected people of African descent, but as you can see, we are all one.
Yes, we are. The Hispanic community is actually number two behind us in the sickle cell category.
Well, this is Jill. I just want to say, in the declaration that we state every Sunday before the show, there's a part in there as far as what we stand for, and we stand for maintaining wellness of being in our bodies. And so with that said, we want to constantly remind people that are listening to the show that we always want to go back to the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and of course with our Kwanzaa principle. So in regards to maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, that's where we're going to have Dr. Palmer. But before we have Dr. Palmer, Faran, thank you so much for sharing your story, and please stay on the show. Thank you. Supermom Tosh, are you out there?
I'm here.
Hi, Supermom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
good, thank you. Now, Supermom is actually, you are starting a foundation on behalf of your son, or you have the foundation already?
No, I'm starting. No,
very
I'm
good.
Trying to start something, yeah.
Very good. Okay, if you want to just tell us your story and then tell us about the foundation, because, again, you never know who's out there listening that could help you.
Absolutely. First of all, good evening to everyone. My story is basically I have the trait as well. My husband has the trait. I had two children. One is seven, and I had a five-year-old that had sickle cell. The five-year-old passed away on January 30th in his sleep, actually. The night, in the middle of the night before he passed, which would have been about midnight, no later than about 1 in the morning, he got up and just said he did not feel well. So I think he threw up maybe one time. And after that, he had diarrhea. And I remember telling him, I said, well, if you don't feel any better in the morning, then I'll take you to the doctor. I just assumed maybe he had a stomach virus because it's been like a bad stomach virus going around in the school, things in that matter. So, like I said, he woke up about 12:30, no later than 1 in the morning. So all through the night, he had a few diarrhea accidents, so I changed him. And then I finally fell asleep about 6:30 that morning because I couldn't stay up any longer. I was so tired. And I remember lying down, and I don't know if you've ever been so tired where, like, you can't move your body, but you can still hear what's going on. So I can hear him talking in his sleep, kind of funny. But who would ever think death, you know? He was saying something that just sounded weird, but I thought, well, he always talks in his sleep, you know, nothing new. But at the end of what he said that was funny, he said, pack up, Mama, pack up. And I tapped my husband. I said, you got this boy talking in his sleep like you do. Still didn't think nothing of it. So I dozed off, and I remember hearing him snore. Well, to me, I thought it was snoring. And we called him Man-Man. His name was Algernon, but we called him Man-Man. And I tapped him. I said, Man-Man. And he turned over, you know, and which he always did because he used to breathe a little harder, I guess, because he had sickle cell anemia. Like I said, I dozed off about 6:30. I woke up at 8, and before I turned over, I said, Man-Man, did you boo-boo again? So I went to turn over to change him, and I was, so you get an idea, I was kind of like laying on my stomach facing away from him. And when I turned over, I looked like, man, like this just doesn't look right. He was laying like straight on his back and his eyes were half closed. His eyes were already fixed and dilated. Algernon was dead. This was the most scary and most traumatic thing I had ever experienced in my life. Excuse me.
Okay. It's we totally we understand, and we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing, and definitely appreciate you coming on the show.
But it needs to be heard that this is still all new to me with the sickle cell because my son always said pain in his back, but this particular day. Or the days before that, he just seemed normal. Nothing was wrong. So it was pretty scary. And then I have a 7-year-old with it. but she never experiences pain. She's more of the infection type. She gets strep throat quick, pneumonia, things in that matter. So even to this day, doctors, you know, they'll tell you what they know, but it's still shocking to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sure.
How quick he died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the unfortunate things about sickle cell is that they really don't have any cure per se.
Mm-hmm.
They have some things that will help. They have some treatments, and one of the treatments they talk about are blood transfusions, also oral antibiotics. But the truth is that they really don't have any effective treatment to this day.
Yeah, my son, he actually, he's had like maybe up to 5 transfusions in his life. And up until then, they even did the Doppler on him. So it looks like when I got the autopsy results, I actually called the medical examiner and I asked him to go over it with me. It clearly states that every organ in his body had severe sickle cells in it. He told me his brain was the worst. It looked like, it went to his brain first. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe we call it a stroke, right? Like a sickle cell stroke, not like hardening of the arteries, but like a sickle cell stroke. And I guess after that, everything else shut down. So now to me, it's making sense when he was talking funny, which means that the brain was probably going. And then I heard him breathing hard, you know, the heart and everything else was shutting down. But it's just so scary, like, you try to do everything that you can, that you're being taught in the sickle cell world, things you hear from people, things the doctors tell you to do, keep them well hydrated, you know, have them do this, have them do this. But who would have ever known? How would I ever know? And then they do tell you, and I wouldn't have never thought, and I just assumed, and I had really blamed myself really bad for his death because I was like, oh, my gosh, with the diarrhea, I should have got him in right away. But the doctors were saying, even at that point, you don't know how far gone he was already or how sick he was already for him to get up and say he didn't feel well. They believed that he was really sick at that point. But how would I have known? I just thought maybe it was a virus. You know, it was nothing else to say, get to the ER, get going quick. Nothing else that gave me any signs or anything. It was just like, wow, you know. And then another thing, I just want people to know that it's so important just to get checked for the trait, you know. Even when I spoke on What's the Count, it's so important, and like What's the Count is trying to spread the word too about the trait. It's so important that just something simple, it's a blood test, so you will know if you are marrying or having a baby with the person with the trait, you know. And it's not saying that you would not have a child with this person or whatever, but it's just to make you aware and what are the possibilities, what can happen. A 25% chance every child that you have that it could have the disease. I mean, people just need to know that and just need to know that even if you have the trait, there are some complications that can occur.
Well, that's good. One of the things that they put in place, and it's not in every state as I understand, but there's an inexpensive blood test for sickle cell disease on all newborn infants in 40 states. And this test is performed at the same time as some of the other blood samples are done. And if that test comes back positive, then they take a further test to make sure to confirm that diagnosis. But that, as I understand, is only done in 40 states. So we, as our community, really needs to be vigilant about that and follow up on those kinds of checks. And the other thing I wanted to speak to is because of the effect of hemoglobin damages the walls of the red blood cells, and it causes them to stick to the blood vessel walls. So again, because it sticks to the blood vessel walls, that now impedes the flow of the blood and the oxygen and all of the nutrients in the blood to the vital organs. So you've got quite a few different kinds of complications that are sometimes mild and sometimes severe. So I mean, you could have bouts and still right. not, you know, really realize what's going on. So so it's very, very important, as you said, to get checked out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to acknowledge Supermom Tosh for coming. She really wanted to come on the show and just share the information. And you want to share, and thank you so much. And our hearts go out to you.
Thank you.
And would you please share what you want to start up in as far as your foundation is concerned?
Sure. First, I kind of wanted to start off with something as, I don't know where to start, but maybe make a foundation where I can have two things going. One would be a scholarship to give back to high school graduates that are about to go to college that have endured sickle cell and that have graduated and are going to college. I think we should commend those kids because even with my child, she's only 7, but she misses like 35 to 45 days every grade. And I think that for you to keep going to go to college, I think that you should get a little help. And I wanted to just award those kind of kids, you know, that's going to college. And then the other part of my foundation would be where I would give back to families that endured a hardship such as myself. I didn't have any help from any kind of sickle cell organization. I didn't know where to start, who to call for help. But not only do you lose your child, you lose, it's a lot emotionally, physically, financially, and that killed our budget. It was, you know, it's not easy just to get like $6,000 and, you know, to bury a child or a loved one. And part of that foundation would give to, it may not be a lot, but it's something to say, we care, we know what you're going through, and here's a few dollars to maybe put groceries in on your table or to help with the funeral or anything like that. So that's my vision, that's my goal. And it will all be in the name of Algernon Jordan III, which was my son. So like I said, I want to start this, and anybody that can help me or can get me started on where to go, you know, I would really appreciate that.
Do you have contact information that you would like to give out for people to contact you?
Right now they can contact me on Facebook, and I'm under Supermom Tosh. And I also did a Facebook page in memory of my son, and that is Remembering Algernon Jordan III, you know. And I've reached so many people from the UK and different people when I did the interview on What's the Count. So many people have been sending me friend requests and also for my son's page. So, yeah, if you're on Facebook, check me out at Supermom Tosh. Send me an inbox and we can connect there. And right now that's the only way I have, you know, any connections right now of getting myself out there until I start up the foundation.
Okay.
Hey, Jill, can I say something real quick, Jill?
Yeah.
This is Farhan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the organization that I've joined forces with, they're called the SCD Soldier Network. Her name is Phyllis Zachary Thomas, and she is also a patient advocate. She has anemia. She's a 46-year-old woman. And her and I have joined forces to create peer groups all across the country. And what we're going to do is her organization is going to actually create advocates and train advocates so we can put these peer groups in different communities and so they can have a resource place to go and find out about sickle cell and get some training. If they want to volunteer, we do, you know, health events and, you know, we're going to be traveling doing community events. And we need support. We need support from the community because the community is the ones that are going to actually control and stop this disease. And so if we can transform the agreement to make the sickle cell a popular subject, then you know we can get it up to where the other blood disorders are and where the other diseases are, because it has hurt families so bad in the past, you know, that they didn't want to talk about it.
Right,
now our
right.
generation is so active, and we're outgoing, and we're doing things, and as athletes, and it's killing us, and we have no idea what it is. So if we get the youth, because that's our future, and get them to understand it, and talk about it, and test for it, and advocate for it, that will change the whole agreement about this disorder as not being a popular subject. Because the people that I've come in contact with, they don't want to talk about it because it's hurt them so bad, personally,
right,
that they
right.
don't want to share.
Well,
so,
well,
Fran, I don't mean
to
cut you off.
Yeah, no problem.
I want to get Dr. Palmer in before we.
Yeah, no problem.
Before we get out, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that one of the ironies of this is that sickle cell actually combats malaria. And the, so that's one of the symptoms that that sickle cell actually protects the body from the parasites, from the mosquito. And, you know, unfortunately,
in Africa.
we don't have that problem over here. And so, of course, you know, but Dr. Palmer's going to talk a little bit about what we can do to eat well and to help our body combat it. So without any further ado, let me give it back to you, Jill, and Dr. Palmer.
Okay, and I just want to let the listeners know that you're listening to the International Black Summit radio show, and we come on every Sunday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Palmer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Dr. Palmer, thank you so much for being on the show, and if you could just share with us the testimony that you have actually witnessed, and then share with us the Education Village Keepers. We greatly appreciate it. You're on.
I appreciate having had the opportunity to listen to the testimonies and the sharing. I want to make sure that everyone understands that I'm a doctor of education, a PhD in education, not medical. With that said, I had the pleasure of talking with Jill a little earlier, and I let her know at that time that what I would share more was what I consider the one miracle that I did have the blessing of observing, and it did include a baby that suffered from sickle cell. She was the daughter of one of my dear friends and colleagues who I taught with. This baby had my colleague would always make sure that her child would be able to attend the school where she taught because she would have crises with such a high frequency that she would want to be able to service her and have her with her. And so that was blessed, and that was able to be done. And as a result of that, much of the faculty came to know this child, and we did get this kind of indirect education, direct and indirect, non-formal education on this challenge. So for first through fourth grade, this baby had quite an interesting little life, not the quality of life that we would have wanted for her as a result of the challenge. But at the fourth grade, her mom, we live in Chicago, and her mom came to be aware of Dr. Fulton, who was at that time alive, we since lost her, who was a true treasure to the African American community here. She was an herbalist. She was a holistic healer. And it was through my witnessing that what transformation this baby experienced, the trigger was finally a crisis after this child had just dwindled down to all but skin and bone. And we took her mom took her to one of our more prominent hospitals here, and the doctors said, well, you know, we need then now, I guess our only recourse is to give a blood transfusion. Well, anybody with a brain would have known that this child would not survive a blood transfusion in the delicate state that she was in. And that was when my friend decided to take her to Dr. Fulton. And Dr. Fulton did what she does through her natural healing and her herbs. And we watched this child go from pain-ridden crises to slow and steady starting to actually experience the quality of life that a child deserves to have. She was, I think within that first year, she was able to ride a bike for the first time. She was went on her first Halloween trick-or-treat experience. We were fortunate to have in our elementary public school a magnificent dance program maybe about a year and a half after this progress was made. She was able to start to take dance. Finally, she just continually made progress. It just continued. As long as she was consistent with what she was asked to do through this holistic process, she continued to move forward, so much so that when she got to eighth grade, she was well enough and consistently well enough to make her mother feel comfortable with her being able to go to a high school where she wasn't going, her mother wouldn't be. And sure enough, she had a successful high school experience, so much so that when she got to senior year, her mother felt comfortable enough with her going away to college, which she did. She then married. She is now a mother of four children. And it's just been my miracle. It's just been me. Needless to say, I started after I finished my doctorate in 94. I had a health challenge, and I was too disenchanted with the HMO services that I was being rendered. And so I knew that I had this information, and I still had this dear friend, and we started talking and collaborating. And so I am 65 now, 64, going to be 65 this year. My husband is turning 66. I drug him along with me. He came kicking and screaming into this lifestyle change. Fundamentally, it's nothing. It's no rocket science. It's hydrating ourselves properly, and the school of thought that I have embraced and that I share with now our holistic, we now have a holistic health club without walls. It's fundamentally educational. We are fundamentally optimum health brokers. We don't provide any services other than brokering optimum health. We find outstanding providers and products that that satisfy our standard of excellence, and we broker it to our members who are wanting to be more optimally well. We are coaches for lifestyle changing, and we create fun group-supported activities throughout the year that encourage, because we are fundamentally educators, we, as I mentioned to Jill earlier, we know how to teach. And this is a teaching-learning scenario, and I think that the two speakers today are also just natural teachers. Their challenge has taken them into the realm of a teacher. And experienced teachers like myself who are good teachers and get good results also know it's not enough to just give information, but you have to give support to those who you teach. You have to reteach. You have to motivate and make the learning fun and be sure that there's some success experience. So that is what we as Educational Village Keepers do through our Holistic Health Club Without Walls. Again, four major things that we advocate is hydration, drinking half your body weight of ounces in water. I weigh 140 pounds. I drink 70 ounces of water every day. And drinking the water as the Lord may. We're not putting anything in it. You know, no, coffee is not, juice is not, you know, what the maker created. We advocate increasing your percentage of raw food, putting live food in a live body. There are enzymes in that food that heal the body. The body is designed to heal itself. If we give it what it needs to do that, it will do that. If we put in our tank of the car a gallon of water, the car isn't going to move. It needs gas. And the same is true for the body. The body needs what it needs to do what it was designed to do, and that is to eat the foods that the maker has created them. That takes some changing. We are very addicted to the third thing that we advocate is that regular detox, we must cleanse. We try to introduce our members to a wide variety of cleanses and detoxes so that they can be empowered to use what they need that best suits their bodies. And we'll make them feel the way that they know that they need to feel, because we are the best knowers about our bodies. We should be in partnership with our medical team, not turning over our health and disempowering ourselves. And then lastly, that's an overview of education. I think I cut some, or someone wanted to say something.
I just wanted to really acknowledge this whole concept of village and education, because those are the key things that I think that are part of our DNA, and it's important for us to be able to educate ourselves and keep the information flowing, as you all are doing. So I want to just acknowledge the work that you're doing in terms of getting the information out and to supporting folks in being healthy. And taking care of their bodies, because that's so important too, especially in our community. You know, lupus and sickle cell are just, the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even, another show, but part of our community is hypertension, diabetes. You know, these are all things that are plaguing our community.
I do have some books that I would like to mention. There's one that each of our members makes an effort to include in their personal library. And while I have had loved ones who have experienced the lupus, and I knew that was going to be a topic, the book Prescription for Nutritional Healing is an excellent, excellent item to keep in your personal library. It is authored by Dr. Balch, B-A-L-C-H. You can find it in any high-quality health food store in any part of the country. It's a very well-read and used resource. Also, there is an author by the name of Lottie Perkins, who is an author of the book entitled Eating to Die, Changing African-American Attitudes About Health. It is written specifically for our African-American community. We flew her into for our Holistic Health Book Club, which is one of our annual events. I highly recommend her. Again, that's Dr. Lottie Perkins. And then Jill was already familiar with Satan, I'm Taking My Health Back by Dr. Jwanza Kanjufu. These three reads are suggestions, especially for the two speakers who spoke tonight. I would like to feel that I've encouraged you to maybe look a little more into the holistic realm. It is a very powerful realm, and it's an extremely powerful realm. And I'd like to close out on saying that once we get an understanding of the disorders or challenges, health opportunities are sometimes what they're referred to. If after we get a good fundamental sense of that, we can shift in getting ourselves equally as as up to date on how to maintain a healthy immune system. Sometimes we have a tendency of becoming experts on the disorder and not on possible solutions. So if we have a strong immune system and if we know how to keep it strong, that is also a means by which, so, you know, combining what Western medicine does, because there are, we do need to grab those symptoms and settle them when we're in these crises, these pain crises and such. But we also need at the same time to know how to build that immune system so that it can do what it's designed to do. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. You know, what you're speaking to is so, so very powerful, and it's needed in our community, and I acknowledge you for taking it on in your community. And, you know, really all of our guests tonight, you know, we've got about 3 minutes, so I'm going to throw it back to you, Jill, but I just really want to thank you for sharing your story with us tonight so that we can understand and know some of the criticalities of lupus and sickle cell out there, and that we really need to be accountable for ourselves, as Dr. Palmer speaks to. We need to be working with our Western, Eastern medicine, and most of all, our own personal consciousness of our body to take care of ourselves and to alter those conversations of who we are in the media and providing nurturing relationships with ourselves. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much. And I, too, want to thank my guests. This was a powerful show. I appreciate the stories, the testimonies, and the information as far as where we can get help. Again, for more information about our organization, you can go to blacksummit.org. We could all meet up in Chicago on August 4th to the 7th. We could all hook up and go to the annual event. That's a powerful event. I would love for everyone that is listening to really look at registering. And we are going to talk about registration in our oxygen room. And you can call us when the show is over. Everyone get your pen out and a piece of paper. The oxygen room number is 218-862-6420. That's 218-862-6420. And the PIN number is 797-4834-POUND. That's 797-4834-POUND. And the oxygen room is where we continue the conversation. We talk about registration. We talk about the summit. We can continue the conversation about the topic that we discussed this evening. So, again, I look forward to hearing you all in the oxygen room. Glenn, back to you.
Yes, and I just want to close out with the international event and the other events that the International Black Summit does is the perfect opportunity to network and to let people know what you're up to and look for partners who share the same vision that you share. So it's an excellent opportunity to share the information, to partner up with people in other parts of the country who have similar interests or similar visions, that are working together to impact and to better our community. So it's a great place. And there's also blacksummit.org. We have a website that you can actually register and put out information on that as well. Go ahead. Somebody else wanted to jump in?
I have a radio show. It's called WDC The Movement. I'm on Blog Talk as well. You can share your sickle cell story there at WDC The Movement.
WDC
The Movement.
Okay.
And what day does that air?
Mondays at 1 p.m. L.A. time.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. I love the interaction. This is really what we're about at the International Black Summit, putting people together who have common visions, who are up to empowering our community. What a great show. Thank you. Thank you so much for there. If you need any more information, come to the oxygen room. You could network and exchange emails and telephone numbers and so on and so forth, and it's a great place to just get some more information. We love
you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you at the event or on another show. You're welcome. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.